Right. Well, it's good to be saved today.
Amen.
You know, we celebrate Christmas as the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's something we should celebrate each and every day.
Amen.
But for some odd reason, it takes a holiday to bring it out of us.
Yeah.
It takes a day on a calendar for us to remember. Can I tell you that? Hey, just as real as your salvation is, the day that you received it should be the celebration of your life each and every day.
That's right.
It's not even my message. I'm just excited about Christmas. Praise God. But we teach our kids that every day is a celebration of your salvation. Every day should bring remembrance of the day that you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. Lest we forget Calvary. You have your Bibles with you. Put your finger in Matthew 13:58 and then over in Luke chapter 24. There is a sadness going on among believers today. And the fact is that we are really no longer believers. See, in order to be a believer, you have to put faith and everything that the Bible says. You know, they were called disciples because they were disciplined after Christ. We find it easy to believe that God created the heaven and the earth. That my God is so powerful that He stepped out on nothing and grabbed a hold of something. He did that. We find it easy that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. We find it easy that He died on Calvary for our sins. We find it easy that one day He's coming back again. But somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21, we lost some belief. There's over 13,000 promises in the Word of God. Some you don't want, right? And there's a lot that you do want. But we find that we look for this word called revival. We search for it. We pray for it. Now, I took my glasses off so I can't see the clock. But what is revival? Revival is believing.
Amen.
Right? In order to have revival in your life, you're going to have to believe certain things. But we don't. But we pray, Lord, send revival. But yet we don't believe in the things it takes to get it. Unbelief creeps into our lives and destroys our faith. The devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, right? You know his greatest tool? Is unbelief.
Yep. Amen.
It's okay if he lost the battle and your soul got saved by Jesus Christ. That's all right. But He don't want you to have any more faith than that. Father God, we love You. And we thank You for the blessing of the day. Lord, we thank You that we do celebrate, Lord, a day called Christmas. Lord, in which we reverence the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Father God, though, to celebrate it each day of our life. Lord, with sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, and telling others what a great Savior that we have. That He came and He died, He was buried and He rose again because of compassion for us, because of love for us. Lord, I need Your help now. Lord, I pray that You would just give me just a couple minutes. Lord, hold our attention. May the Spirit of God grab a hold of and direct our ways. Lord, if there be a lost one here, no matter what happens today, may that one be saved. Lord, help Your unworthy servant to do what You called him to do. And may you receive all the honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Fox ran through a couple of my verses that I was going to read this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and read them again. They're going to sound familiar. John 20:29 says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now a version of scripture, Matthew 13:58, the Bible says, and he did not many mighty works because of their what?
Unbelief.
Because of their unbelief. We find Jesus in his own town. He had done been in Capernaum and did mighty things. He healed the palsy. He'd been in Galilee and healed the blind. He's walked on water. He's did many things, but yet he come to his own town and the people would not receive him. Oh, he's just a carpenter's son. Isn't your mother's name Mary? Isn't your father's name Joseph? They didn't believe. But because of their unbelief, the Bible specifically points out something. He could not do what he wanted to do. And we find the same thing in our lives today when we start to struggle. When we come across issues in life. Hey, when that door slams in your face that you was expecting to be open, or that sickness comes into a loved one's, and we find that we start to lose our faith. We start to have doubt. Disbelief sets in. I like to take the historical event of the road to Emmaus, if you would, in Luke chapter 24. And I know that a lot of preachers use this as a type of enlightening for people. And yes, they did get enlightened at the end. But can I tell you, nowhere in my Bible does it tell me to go every year and reenact the road to Emmaus. It doesn't tell me to go to a town in Florida with a bunch of different church people, a bunch of different church groups, and perform the same thing that happened that day. My Bible didn't say that. But I think we miss a lot of good truths here. Number one, on the road to Emmaus, we found a doubt. We see here the story is that Jesus Christ has come. He was crucified. He was beaten in front of all his followers. They seen the body of our Savior literally hanging disjointed on the cross. They seen his back torn to shreds. They watched as the soldier put the spear up in his side and the water and the blood oozed out. They seen these things. Could you imagine in your own eyes if you were sitting there watching a man that you believe was the Savior of the whole world now hanging lifeless on the cross of Calvary? They lost their hope. They got discouraged. Doubt set in because of what they seen. But my Bible says it's what? For those that believe and have not seen. A lot of times we look at things and we lose the grasp of the story. We overanalyze what we see. Verse 21 in Luke chapter 24 says, but we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. You see, Jesus Christ was walking behind Cleopas and Simon, walking to Emmaus from Jerusalem. And the Bible, of course, says that he did not reveal himself, but he heard their speech. And in their speech, he found a problem. Jesus' words, his very own words, he says, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Unbelief causes sadness. Can I tell you as Christians that the joy of our salvation, the joy of the salvation of the Lord should pour out of us? Can I tell you there's no situation in life that should bring us down to when we're walking side by side that somebody notices that your countenance is not right? Amen. My God's greater than that. But it happens to each and every one of us. Can I tell you, it happens to me. Yep. Things will happen and my whole demeanor changes. And everybody's quick to pick up on it. Why would somebody want what you had if you looked like that? Right? But Jesus was walking behind him and said, what manner of communication is this that you two are sad? Unbelief causes doubt. They had trusted that Jesus Christ was who that He said He was. They had believed that He was going to save them, that He was going to be the King of all Jerusalem, that He was going to conquer the Roman Empire, that they were going to get their freedoms back, that they were once again going to be the children of God that they were supposed to be, that God on high was going to reign for them. That's what they believed. And their hope was crushed when they seen something.
Amen.
It caused doubt. As it does us. In verses 22 and 24 it says, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen visions of angels, which had said He was alive. And certain of them were there when us went through the sepulcher and found it, even as so the women had said. But Him they saw not. That word astonished means to stun or to strike dumb with sudden fear, terror, surprise or wonder, to amaze, to confound with some sudden passion. Made us astonished. Sudden fear came into their lives because of something that they seen again and something that they did not see. And it said it astonished them. It caused fear in their lives. It made them dumb to the fact of the things they already knew. You ever been scared?
Oh, yeah.
Late at night? I can tell you. I grew up hunting. At 8 years old, my daddy would give me a loaded gun, send me 2 miles in the dark, and said, boy, don't you turn that flashlight on. 8 years old, walking through a field, and had a coyote run right by you. I've been scared. You know? Been over in Afghanistan when 105 or 107 millimeter bombs blowing up over my head and shrapnel falling down my back. I've been scared. In times of fear, our senses are heightened. And we lose real focus on what's going on. We start imagining things. Can I tell you, as a little 8-year-old boy, walking my 30-30 across my back, going to my deer stand, boy, everything was loud. You know, a cricket could have sat on a leaf and then, boy, I would, whoo! But it happens. When you get astonished by something, your perception changes. That's what happened.
Amen.
They went to somewhere expecting one thing and they got another and it astonished them and they stopped thinking. They stopped remembering.
Yeah.
And then we find that unbelief causes despair. What manner of communication are these that you have? Why you're sad? We find that unbelief causes doubt, causes fear, causes despair. It gets us off track, so to speak. Can I tell you, they were on a road that just left a prophecy that took, 3,500 years to fulfill. Since Genesis 3:15, God had promised that He was going to send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. In Isaiah 53 and in Psalms 22, He describes exactly the kind of death that our Savior was going to endure. Right? And every one of it was dot and T to the letter done. Because every jot and tittle matters. But yet, because they were astonished, because doubt set in, because it wasn't what they thought it was going to be, they forgot the laws of Moses. They forgot the prophecies of Genesis. They forgot all about what Isaiah said and what the psalmist said. Even though it was exactly like it was supposed to be. But because they lost what they thought they had, unbelief set in. And then they started down this road. Instead of rejoicing at the fact that God's hand had prevailed again, that God had fulfilled His prophecies like He said, woe is me. What are we going to do now? I thought that was the answer. But now what? But it happens. Why does it happen? Because we lose focus of God and we start focusing on an issue.
Yeah, right.
If you want to remember who God is, you look at God.
Yeah.
Never once in my Bible does it say, hey, take your eyes off the Savior and look somewhere else.
Yeah, right.
Right. It doesn't do that. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God that saveth the world. Your eyes, your focus, your attention.
Amen.
When you start looking away from something, you stop believing in it. Mm-hmm. A lighthouse is set on the edge of the water for a reason.
Yep.
Ships have faith. They believe as long as they can see that lighthouse, they're going to make it to shore. Yeah. Can I tell you that as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, you're going to make it to shore.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, the road may be a little rough sometimes. It may be a little bumpy and a little steep, right? But you keep your eyes on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, can I tell you, He's going to take you all the way home.
Amen.
But as soon as you get your eyes off the Savior, as soon as you focus on the problems that you're having in your life, hey, I don't know if there's sickness in your home. Hey, I don't know if you just lost your job or you just got laid off. Hey, I don't know if there's something going on in your marriage. But if you get your eyes off of God, that issue is going to increase.
Yep. That's right. Amen.
Because God is the answer.
Amen.
We celebrate God as the reason for the season. Right? But God's not a season. God is an everyday thing. God is a promise. All you have to do is believe. You know, there's wrong ways and there's right ways to do things. I'm going to run through the end of the press quickly. Brother Jeff gave me a hard task to keep you awake after we ate so much food. But the road of Emmaus speaks of despair. But then we find Jesus Christ in the very end of it. And He starts speaking of Moses. And He starts speaking of things that were to come. He goes back to the Bible. He goes back to the roadmap. Right? He goes back to the prescription that we all need in our lives.
Amen.
Right? You see, what happens is we begin to think on our own. And when we think of our own, we think fleshly ways, fleshly thoughts. That's what happened to these two as they walked. They were thinking about everything that they lost. They were thinking about everything that they should have had. They just didn't understand, and they had nowhere else to go, so their mind started going. And I understand that. Our mind does the same thing. But He called them fools. And we know that God don't use that word very lightly. Calls them fools. Why? Because they had been taught from the beginning what to look for, what to expect. I know things in our life are going to happen. Sadness is going to set in. We're going to lose family members. Hey, we may end up in a car wreck down the road and lose a leg or something. You know, I don't know what your situation is going to be. I don't know what your Emmaus road is going to look like. But I can tell you, when you get on that road and the light starts to get dim, that you need to go back to where you started.
Yeah.
And it's easy.
Amen.
Go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and you start to look around. Yeah, God did this. Then you go back to the place where you bent your knees and you bowed your head and you received Jesus Christ into your heart as a personal Lord and Savior. You remember that day? I do. I was 8 years old. Princeton, Kentucky, in a Baptist church, Sunday night for a meeting. I know exactly where I was at. I go back there and it helps me to remember, hey, my God did that for me. Hey, my God created this for me. And then I go back to one of my favorite places. Oh, I love the story of the empty tomb. I walk in there in my mind, I close my eyes, I meditate upon it, and I go in there and I see the slab that's empty. I see the grave clothes as they lay there. And I see that blessed napkin sitting over in the corner folding up saying, I will return.
Amen.
You get despaired. You get discouraged. You go back to where you began at. And you start remembering the promises of God that were true then, because they're just as true today. They're not going to fail you. They're not going to get a change on you. I am God and I change not. In me there's no variableness.
Amen. That's right.
Bless God, remember what He's done for you. Hey, I don't know what 2019 is going to look like for us. I mean, 2020. I know what happened in 2019. I didn't like all of it, to be quite honest. If you did, God bless you. But I know in 2020 there's going to be some things that's going to happen. Do I know what they are? I sure don't. And I'm glad I don't, to be quite honest. You know, I might not want to face them. But can I tell you, God's going to be there.
Amen.
Can I tell you that He was a God that stepped out on nothing
Amen.
And grabbed a hold of something? Right?
Yeah.
And as Brother Jeff said this morning, he spake all things into existence, right? So when the calendar started, he was already there,
yeah.
Right? And there ain't no end to his calendar either.
Yeah, right.
You know, this earth's got an ending, but his calendar don't. So when we go into 2020, and you get on your AMS roll, and things start to get dim, know that God's there with you. It was after that Jesus opened the scriptures and enlightened them that then they saw him. That book you got there in your laps, that letter that never ends, read it.
Amen.
It'll take you where you need to be.
Amen.
It'll get you there.
Right.
And no matter what happens, as Lester Roloff would say, praise God anyway. Mm-hmm. Father God, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. And Lord, as 2019 closes out, Lord, is the end of the decade. But Lord, may we march on into 2020 knowing that you're the God of all creation. And Lord, that you have our hand. And Lord, that you're right there behind us. And Lord, that no matter what happens, you're there for us. And Lord, when we get discouraged, Father, may we seek you in your word and remember the places that you have brought us through and brought us from, knowing that you are the God. You're our God. And you will always be there. As your name says, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.